Let's put a song so you can sing along with a special guest or two.
Or two.
You like to sing and dance, and this podcast, by chance, explores musicals for you. Theme song, yeah.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Life's But a Song's Second Chance Theater, where we recover a topic but with a new guest. I'm your host, John, and with me today is a returning guest. She is one of the hosts of Fandom on the Rocks. It's Emily, everyone! Woo!
Hello. Thank you for having me back.
Like Cher, Madonna, it's Emily!
Yes. Yeah, I go with one name because, like, why not?
Why not? Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're here today to do the second chance of the Rocky Horror Picture Show from 1975. Previously, it was episode 69. John had a thought with that one.
I saw that. I was like, 69, you did that on purpose.
I totally did it on purpose. It was also during October. So it, like, all the planets aligned for that
stars
one
aligned
thing to happen. Yes.
Perfect.
And the guest for that episode was Bestie of the Pod, Lauren Gismondi. Now, Emily, I'm going
yes.
to make a bold statement and say you've seen this before.
I have seen Rocky Horror Picture Show before. I do have a terrible confession to make, which is I have never been to a midnight showing.
That's okay. That's okay.
Okay.
That's okay. It's. I mean, you've seen it. That's
yes.
the important thing. And
yes.
like, have you seen the stage version before?
I've only seen recordings. I haven't been to the theater to
okay.
see it. Yeah,
might
I know. It's terrible.
Might I suggest bucket list for 2024? Put them
okay.
on.
I did do a little Google search to see what's playing around, because I know Rocky Horror plays consistently throughout the country year round. And there's a midnight showing coming up around me in March in like a couple weeks.
Nice.
So I'm a little tempted. Yeah. I might have to do it for the first time.
I have a good story. You know what? I'm going to say my story now. The second time I went to go see Rocky Horror, because the first time I saw it, it was the show, which is a little different than the movie, obviously. And then the second time I saw it, you know, with live, it was with a shadow cast. And I pretended to be a Rocky Horror virgin for that, where usually what they do is they did two things for us. They had all the virgins stand up, and then they had the whole audience shout fuck, and then they say that was the biggest fuck you had in your life. And then
nice. They
selected some people to go on stage and degrade them even further, and I was one of them, and they put a little stack of like cookies on my crotch. I was fully clothed, by the way.
Okay.
Put a little stack of cookies on my crotch, like Nilla wafers, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And this woman had to, with her mouth only, pick them up. But what she did was, I was probably like 19 or 20 at the time.
Okay.
And she was older, I will
mm-hmm.
say. So she like snuck her hand in and scooped them up with her hand.
Okay. Yep. See, I think this is why I've never gone to a midnight show, is just like crowds and people. I think I'm just so shy that the audience participation, my like social anxiety would ramp up to a set where I'd be like, I can't do this.
Okay. I'm sorry to force it upon you, but like,
No. I think it's so great for people who love it, and I think that's probably why I just haven't done it. Is because I know what you do there, but since I haven't done it, it's like reading the menu before you go to a restaurant. You're like, I need to prep before I go, but if I'm not prepped enough, am I going to enjoy it? Like, what if I miss the beat? What if I throw the toast before it's time? What if I say the word before and everyone knows that I'm
well,
not
you
supposed
should
to be there?
You should go in with like a basic knowledge,
yeah.
And and don't bring props. If they provide props, then use them. But
yeah.
Don't bring them. That's a rule for everyone. Do not bring your own props,
yeah.
Because that's
they give
a
you
whole
buckets now, right? Like a set.
They'll give you a baggie, a bucket, something, so this way it's controlled. It's controlled chaos.
Yes.
But don't go to everyone. Disclaimer: do not go to theaters seeing Rocky Horror with your own shit, because some places don't do it. Some places it's just the part, the verbal participation, where you have the usual asshole slut, and then there's other ones. But I think it'd be fun if you went with like your close friends, partner, something like a comfort people. So this way, in case something happens, they can calm you down. But also, y'all are just gonna have so much fun.
Totally, it's such an odd movie show anyway that I don't know how you couldn't have fun.
And this is a good segue into my next question, which is, why did you want to recover this?
It's such an odd movie that I think a lot of people have complicated relationships with, but it toes that line of like, is this good? Is it bad? And then does it matter? That I think it's fun to watch regardless. I think a lot of people like me probably saw it the first time way too young because it was on TV. I don't know about your household. My house did not have TV restrictions. Like the only thing my parents didn't want me to see was Ren and Stimpy growing up.
Okay.
That was like the only thing my mom was like, you should not be watching this. So if it was on HBO or whatever, it was like, who cares? Just whatever. So probably saw it the first time way too young, didn't get it, thought the music was fun. The first half made more sense than the second half. And then you come back to it later and you're like, what the fuck was I watching this for? What happened? Why did I see this? And then you kind of contextualize it down the line, but you like never talk to anybody about it.
You weren't podcasting yet.
We weren't podcasting yet. Yeah, we weren't like getting into a book club going, so has everyone seen Rocky? What did we think? Is it problematic? You know, like in 75, no one's asking if anything's problematic.
Right. I mean, I feel like...
And like, who cares?
I feel like the movie itself really isn't that problematic. Like thinking, looking, because doing this, doing podcasting, as you know, looking back, you're like, ooh, that's cringe. Or even, not even podcasting, watching an older movie, being like, I love this movie as a kid. Oh. We've had that a lot on here. But like, I don't know. I feel like this one actually just holds true.
Yeah, I think it does too. And I think you can really pick it apart. So I rewatched it so it would be fresh. And then I went to Reddit because I love to know what other people think. And that was fascinating. And I wish next to people's Reddit comments, there would be like their ages so that I could know, like, are you 22 and approaching this with only
the
a 22-year-old?
Yeah.
And like with all the new context of language and microaggressions and everything that we know now about conformity and gender norms and language, or are you 65 and just being like, this was the first time we got to see somebody on the big screen or on stage and it was fucking awesome?
Right, because this movie has so much history in our culture, in the world's culture, I should say.
Yeah.
Because as you mentioned, midnight movies, it wasn't the first midnight movie, but it's the one that popularized it as well as had the longevity of being played at midnight and not being ashamed of it.
Right. Yeah. Because you had, when I listened to the first go around talking about midnight showings and how the movie absolutely bombed when it came out, which no surprise, I can't imagine this movie making money. I can't imagine this movie making money now if it had come out. I can't actually see this movie getting made.
Oh yeah, no. There'd be so many like things. Be like, why transsexual? Why this? Why Transylvania?
Wait, so what are their motivations? How come Brad? So like maybe at the end, Brad could actually get his phone call. Like, there'd be a lot of studio interference about the whole thing.
Was it a dream?
Was it a dream?
I have a read on this, by the way, that this last viewing it for this episode, my mind, so I like to say I let my mind wander when it comes to movies I've seen before, so I can explore the depths of my brain and my imagination. But man, this one took a weird turn, I gotta say. Are you done making your point, or do you have more to say?
Yes,
First of all,
no, I'm
okay.
so excited.
So, I have a theory, and it's great when I start it with that because my theories are always wild and it's so conjecture. I have a theory that what we're watching is a reenactment of the Brad Majors, Janet Weiss case that the criminologist is talking about. I think we're watching a musical documentary.
Okay, I'm into it.
Because that'll explain the narrator slash criminologist.
Right. He serves no other purpose. Why is he there?
Right, and he is the one who is talking down the barrel the whole time. He is facing the camera, talking to us, the audience. And
And how does he know?
there's that one time that Dr. Scott has the aside, but I think that's supposed to be like the criminologist saying it for the subtext of Dr. Scott's brain.
Okay.
But
Right. And I think
I don't
you and Lauren had talked about in the wedding in the beginning, the characters, the aliens, are there
Yes.
as the characters from American Gothic.
Yes.
While other than the movie saving money and reusing actors,
I mean,
unless it's
there.
like a
So that's my wild fan theory. The other fan theory I've heard is that they are following Brad and Janet.
They're their next victims.
And like the flat tire just so happens to be right by the mansion and everything, so it's like they planned it. But I don't know. I feel like both theories are could be true.
Sure.
Let's get Richard O'Brien on the phone.
Absolutely. I mean, that could happen.
But I mean, I just had that thought and I was like, does this hold water? Is it? Because the criminologist serves no other purpose besides talking to us, the audience. And that is a theatrical device because the show came first and then the movie. And then the movie became obviously the popular thing, not the stage version. And people
And then they
often
go back
confuse.
and
Yeah. Because the
yeah, and
Rocky
now they
Horror
go back and
Picture
do the
Show.
stage.
Yeah, the Rocky Horror Picture Show is the movie. The Rocky Horror Show is the stage musical.
And there's stuff in the you were talking in the first episode about all of the differences between the song choices in the UK, the US, the hut songs. Like, if you could just make one version, that would be great.
I honestly think that once in a while in superheroes were cut for pacing purposes.
Which is weird because the time warp was added because it was so short.
Interesting. I thought that was always part of the stage show.
They added the time warp to the script because at the runtime was like 40 minutes or something. And they're like, well,
Holy shit.
we got to add something to like get
Because
this movie longer.
I know they filmed Once in a While in Superheroes, and you can find it,
I
deleted
watched it.
scenes somewhere, yeah. Where Once in a While is just Brad, after he and Frank had sex, is just sitting there. And then Superheroes, we get the tail end of it at the movie, of the song. What happens before it is the house flies. The house spaceship flies into orbit. And
Hilarious.
Brad and Janet are crawling around the wreckage with Dr. Scott still in the wheelchair, just clawing the air because he can't go anywhere. It is dumb, but I love it.
It does. So when I watched Superheroes, that missing song makes the criminologist's line about ants crawling make so much more sense. Because you have the visual of the two of them doing it. You're like, okay, what do we cut this for? What are we doing?
And then once in a while, it's supposed to happen right before touch me. Because there is a long, well, it feels long, a long chunk of time that there isn't a song between I Can Make You a Man reprise and touch me. That it's
Right. For how
all.
many songs there are, there's a gap.
And like, I tend to forget, as much as I've seen this movie, I tend to forget that like the first five songs are back to back to back to back to back. You know, from science fiction all the way to Sweet Transvestite, that we get like a little bit of a break because we have to introduce Rocky to get sort of Damocles and I Can Make You a Man and then Hoppa Tootie. And then there's another, like, and then there's that, but then there's like a pause, a long pause.
Yeah, the exposition pause. The like, we got to tell a story here to like flip what we're talking about.
All right, this is, we have to do a thing. We're setting stuff up.
Yeah. Oh,
Maybe.
right. We're aliens.
Earthlings.
Yeah. Surprise. There's a story here.
So, since you're on here, I didn't get a chance to listen to your episode on this, but what did you think of the Glee version of it?
Oh, man. So the part of the Glee episode is they're like, I don't know if this is appropriate for a high school to do Rocky Horror. And you're like, it's not. It's actually probably really not appropriate for high school to do this without heavy edits. And I think if when you're watching Glee, if you're in high school, you're like, how dare they censor us and our creativity? And then when you're nearing 40, you're like, kids, no, you really shouldn't be doing this. Pick
I
something
mean,
else.
I feel like it's not even them that wanted to do it. It's Will that wanted to do it,
It's
right?
absolutely Will Schuster. And
Because
because it's
John
also
Stamos.
John Stamos was there and he's Eddie. Yeah. And, you know, he sounds great doing it, but it's another
So high when he does it. Hoppa
so funny.
Tootie, bless
It's so funny. I think they really just wanted John Stamos in leather pants. Right? Like, I think that was the thought process, which is really in line with what Glee does, right? It's like they have a little bubble and they're like, go for it. Was Naya Rivera hot as Magenta? Absolutely.
Was
Great.
I mean I in the first chance I praised Amber Riley as Frankenfurter, and I mean I still stand
It's a
by it.
choice.
I still stand by my sentiments in the first chance, where it's like I feel like Brad and Janet are the only ones that are gendered, like specifically gendered. Anybody, however they personally identify or present themselves, can play the other roles. It's just those two, and maybe Eddie, but like I mean, Lea Delaria played Eddie on Broadway, so like anybody can
And
play
like,
Eddie.
you could, you know, if part of the plot is that half of Eddie's brain goes into Rocky, what I mean, so what? Then brain is a brain.
Then Rocky is smart because it's a woman, and women's
There
brains
you
are
go.
smarter. Yes.
And then Rocky is a better partner after the switcheroo.
He's a himbo, yes? We would say Rocky's a himbo.
Rocky's a
Okay.
himbo.
Rocky's a himbo. I'm still learning, trying to understand the terminology of the kids. So.
Yes. There, you know, before we move on from Glee, there is one, I don't know, I mean, it's not even trivia, but the actress who plays Emma Pillsbury, when she auditioned for Glee, she did Touch Me.
I do remember that.
And I wonder if that just sat in Ryan Murphy's brain the entire time and was like, one day we're going to do Rocky Horror simply because this happened.
Because I feel like, isn't it that all of their audition songs ended up making it into the show at some point?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, sorry, for season one cast,
Season one cast, yeah. Yeah.
the original cast. I can't speak for the rest of the actors, but because
Anyone
the
after
show,
season four, I'm still learning about them. They're children.
wait until season six, and you're like, who?
That's why our original tagline was, we haven't seen season six either.
Oh, I
I never did.
Have you done season six yet?
No, we haven't gotten there yet. We're getting there.
When you're ready, I'm ready.
Yes, absolutely.
I will be a season six guest star for guest host.
Absolutely. What's weird is I've actually listened to some of the music and I was like, some of these songs are hot,
They're
but I don't know the
great.
plot.
Yeah, no, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Yeah.
But back to, I really like this movie. And again, if this is your first time watching it, do not watch it with me because I will be yelling at the screen. Because like even today, I was literally on my phone, not really paying attention. Maybe every once in a while I'll look up because I'm like, this is a fun song. I love this one. I'm going to openly admit this. I skipped some of the songs because I was running out of time. But I've seen it. I mean,
Summer skips.
I skipped Sword of Damocles and I Can Make You a Man.
Okay. I know one of the segments is like
Sharp and
ups and
Black.
downs. Sword of Damocles is my least favorite.
So that's that.
It's
Oh, I mean, that's the
my
one I
flag.
asked. I asked Lauren in the first chance, what song don't you like?
I know
Cause,
that's skipping ahead to the sharps and flats, but like
right. But I feel like Sword of Damocles, I mean, the show is camp, it's weird, it's bizarre, it's B movie, sci-fi. But Sword of Damocles, I honestly don't understand what he's saying.
I don't either.
Because, like, he doesn't talk.
He says no words, but all of a sudden he has a whole song.
And then he had, I mean, Roast in My World, it makes sense because now you're like, okay, I'm just several hours old. Truly beautiful to behold. Like, yes, this makes sense because now you're finally able to have your subtext be text, but like, you are just born when you sing Sword of Damocles, so.
He's got a whole mythology rocking here in this, and
Which I love that the chemicals, I guess we're going to call it that, is a rainbow. I
I
always
know
love
it's
that.
just like very unscientific too. He's just like a little bit of this, some of this, a little bit of this. A man.
But
There's no
then
like.
the glass stays, the glass container that he's in stays a rainbow. And I'm like, fuck ass.
Yeah. That's
Because
the camp.
that's the camp, and that's. What's really fascinating to get into gay history for a hot second is that at the time in 1975, I believe it was still the eight color rainbow, not the six color rainbow that it turned
Okay.
into.
Yeah.
Because there were hot pink and turquoise as colors, but they s fell off throughout the years. So it's fascinating.
Kind of into the turquoise.
How would it be without the Roy G. Biv of it all
I
nowadays?
know. I know. It's probably better. I like turquoise as a color.
Was there something that you felt I mean, I was re-listening to the first chance. We did not really talk about the movie. We talked about the other. We talked about
Yeah.
around the movie. Because I think I went into it being like, well, everyone's seen the movie. I don't know how Lauren felt, but was there something that you were like, why didn't you talk about this? Or if we did talk about the movie, you're like, let me answer.
Yeah, I mean, so I thought a really interesting topic are these like themes of queerness and community that people from 75 to now like really hum to. And I think that's where the longevity of this movie comes from and the stage play, because it can't be the movie itself. It's got to be the identity and building a space free from like gender norms and expectations. I feel like it's like a precursor to Hedwig and the Angry Inch, where Frankenfurter, there were some moments in this where I was like, Frankenfurter and Hedwig felt very similar. I think in a way
Right.
that I hadn't noticed previously, and maybe that's just because I hadn't seen Hedwig before. I saw this first, and then yeah. So then I've now seen Hedwig a number of times, and then I watched this again. I was like, okay, I see the like enmeshing of themes and bodies and space, and they felt very like simpatico in conversation with each other in a way that I hadn't noticed before.
Huh. Yeah. I don't think I've ever connected those dots either. But now it makes sense that it's like you have two queer people who are usually not the main characters be main characters. And like, yes, Hedwig is all about the journey of Hedwig transitioning into a woman, and talking about things and sex and everything. But like this one, I think it's still the aftermath of the counterculture with the free love and, you know, going against societal norms.
And it not always being easy.
Right. And a musical. So
and musical with rock filtering through it in very obvious ways, countered by love songs and ballads.
And discussing sex. Like, yes, this one, Janet has heterosexual sex, but her story is that she has it for the first time. So she's understanding things. And like, I guess her first time was with Frank, right? Yeah.
That's been my impression of the movie, is that that's her like first time all around.
Because in that scene where it's, where she has sex with Frank and then Frank has sex with Brad, she says that she was saving herself. So I'm like, okay, so is Brad a virgin? Brad should be a virgin, you'd think.
I kind of think he is, because their conversations are mirrored. The conversation Brad has with Frankenfurter is exactly the same conversation he has with Janet.
Yes. No, yes. That is done on purpose. But like, he doesn't say that he was saving himself.
That's
the only
true.
Difference. But however,
would a man say that though?
I don't know, but I think we are to read further into it by saying that, well, they've known each other since high school. I think that's the idea, because when we're at the Hapshat wedding in the opening, Ralph and Betty know Brad and Janet from high school, and then Dr. Scott is one of their teachers. So presumably, Brad and Janet have been dating since high school and have not had sex with other people.
Yes.
So I think cutting once in a while is a hindrance for Brad's character, because Brad is now dealing with potentially being gay or potentially being bi or pan. Something that is new to him. And I'm using modern terminology for it.
Right. Yeah.
But you understand. And you, the listener, hopefully understand what I'm trying to say. And so, Once in a While is such a good song. Fucking A.
It is, because it's absolutely his, like, emotional turn in the movie. Because he doesn't really get another one until the end. Like, it's his kind of...
Stop and Bark, but...
Yeah, it's kind of his one chance to speak to the audience about his inner turmoil and his inner feelings, because he doesn't get another chance until Rose to My World.
Yeah, because then Dr. Scott has entered the the movie.
Yeah,
and now you're like, oh, we're a sci-fi now. Okay,
right, and now a whole different genre.
So
we take that turn.
I don't know if I actually want to sharp it, but there's a moment, the moment that Dr. Scott goes up the stairs, I laugh my ass off every time, because you're like, clearly you were doing this with like $5 and your best friends. You're just seeing the track and
I love it.
So good. I also feel like, now I'm not sure because I didn't really read into it and I got a little lazy on this episode. I'm not sure if the Transylvanians are like friends or something, but I feel like they are.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they hired extras. I think they were just like, you want some beer?
Yeah. You want to come to set and just get 20 bucks today?
Yeah. And you know, hang out and smoke a J.
Sounds like a good way to spend your day.
You'll be wearing sunglasses the whole time. Don't worry. We won't see the bloodshot eyes.
No one's gonna know it's you. I mean,
Except
they're like
for,
reusing costumes anyway, so like, that's fine.
well, they start in costumes and then they don't have costumes, really.
I don't know where to put that in the outline. I might have put it in a sharp. Where did I put this? I think I put it in a, well, okay, my sharps were Tim Curry just on his own. And then Susan Sarandon being just balls out in her underwear and just being like, this is fine. I mean, she looks phenomenal, but she's not a singer. That's not
No.
her forte. And that has to be so scary to have this be one of your very first films. I don't think
And
it's
this
her
is,
first, but it's
I mean, it's her
way up
first,
there.
like, to be that became large
Yes,
films.
yeah. And she's just in her bra most of the movie, singing, which is not her thing. And she kills it. And a lot of this movie goes to Tim Curry, and rightfully so. But I did want to take a moment to just be like, congratulations, Susan Sarandon, for this.
Well, so the you've
I could
also
never.
heard, you also heard that, like, the
She
cast,
had pneumonia.
no, not that, the cast kind of like denied being in it, or like were embarrassed to admit that they were in it for a while, until, 'cause it bombed.
Right.
It's not a good movie. I know it. I know it's not a good movie.
Yeah.
But I think what, besides the queer read of it and everything, I think a lot of people like it because it's so honest. It's like, yeah, we're kind of spoofing this thing, but like, we're also being serious. We're not winking at the camera or anything like that.
Yep. So
So
this may answer your question of what didn't you talk about, and is also a question for you, is what do you think makes a cult classic? Because this is obviously the
cult
definition
classic.
of a cult classic. It fulfills all of the, well, there's very few criteria for a cult classic, but I don't know what new movies are going to come into that canon. Partly, I think, because of social media, like you can't, this ground up swell of excitement of like midnight showings of, we're so quick to just shit on a movie on social media for the likes.
So here's the thing. For me, I think what defines a cult classic is the longevity of it.
Yeah.
And the newer generations are loving it too. So it hurts me to say it, but I think movies like 10 Things I Hate About You and, oh God, what's that one? Bring It On. I think they've reached cult classic status at this point because it's been about 20 years.
That hurts. I know.
It's been over 20, it's been almost 20 years, or over 20 years for those movies. And just today, I saw somebody on TikTok do the "It's cold in here, there must be some clovers." Like, I think it has to have that kind of a thing. And like, yes, it doesn't need to be as massive as this one is, but it has to have its own little market, its own group, if you will.
I think there also has to be that like rabid fandom around it. Like people have to
Right. So
dig in.
I feel like with this one, although we are praising the queer representation that this movie has, I think, however, it's a lot of straight bros just liking how crazy it is, and you get to see Nell Campbell's boobs at one point. Yeah, just
that's true.
flop on out of her corset. Like, and
I always
I think,
wondered if that was a mistake, and they were like, no, it's fine.
and I think at one point I saw a nipple during Touch a Touch of Touch Me, like when her and Magenta are fucking
Yeah.
around. There was one
Would not
point
surprise.
where, yeah, there's one point where I was like, did I just see a nip?
They really should have gotten equal opportunity with Rocky then, but.
Oh my God, yes. But like, we're still not ready to see a penis on screen.
I haven't seen Saltburn.
Oh, neither have I yet, but
The bathtub thing, I don't know, man. I've read some crazy shit in my life, and I don't know that I need to see it on TV. I don't know.
oh, I don't know what you're talking about, and I don't want to know right now. Huzzah! Going into a five. But like, I don't know. I honestly, there's a lot of people that I'm like, yeah, I do. I like musicals, and they say that they don't like musicals, and I go, what about Rocky Horror? And they go, oh, yes. And that's
Yes.
anybody. Like.
It is an easy intro into musicals. I think because the music, a lot of the music is rock. You don't feel like
Yes.
so many. It's like it's queer, but it's not gay.
Right. But the
It's just.
and then in the last 20, 30 years, if you've been to a school dance or a wedding or a Sweet
You've done the
16,
time
you've
warp.
done the time warp. Plus,
Yes, you have.
Meatloaf's in this movie. So I think maybe that got a lot of people too, because
Yep.
Meatloaf, he's cool.
Meatloaf.
He's riding a bike at one point.
There are motorcycles, which, okay, the movie never answers why there's like 12 motorcycles outside the castle. Unless it did, and I never figured it
It's the
out.
Transylvanians coming
They
to the
all just
house.
rode motorcycles?
Yeah, that's what I thought it was.
Is it? Okay. For some reason, I thought they got there somewhere else, but I guess it was them riding the motorcycles.
Yeah, because then they leave.
Oh, they do leave. That's right. Why are they
So
all on
they.
motorcycles?
Because they're cool and a
They're
biker gang.
aliens.
Well, are they?
Are they? Good
Lauren did
point.
bring up a good point in the first chance, and then I noticed it too, that like you look at the food during Time Warp,
Yeah,
and
they're all
there's
from
the
different
look,
countries.
which there's that one guy that has something from Ireland, and I now want to know what that is. I'm like, what kind of pastry is that from Ireland?
It's just like beef inside.
I do.
They're all stuck eating Eddie, and the rest of them just have like beef and peas.
And it's a convention that I think the convention is to show off that Frank can make a human, make a person.
That was what I thought. Yeah, which seems, if it's the convention to show off they can make human, why bring Brad and Janet into it?
Sacrifice?
Mm.
Frank's horny, and he got his.
That could do.
I
That
mean,
makes.
so I think it goes, Frank got with Columbia, and then got with Eddie because Eddie was making a delivery, because I believe he's supposed to be a delivery person of some kind. But then Columbia and Eddie started shacking up, and so to
Yeah.
punish them, Frank used part of Eddie's brain to go into Rocky, his new sex toy, but then I guess he's like, I need some sex before Rocky is a thing, so he got Brad and Janet.
And
Did I figure out the plot of this movie?
I guess the conventionists weren't good enough for him.
I
You
guess he wanted
don't
a
want to shit where
virgin.
you eat.
Maybe he wanted virgins.
Ooh, for sacrifice, because that's.
Or for sex, sexual sacrifice.
Yeah. Because they are wearing white.
Yeah, when they're in their
They have
underwear,
white
it's all
underwear.
white.
Yeah, it's a white underwear.
Plus, you see them with their clothes on, you're like, you're such a prude. You are
Her
such a
little
yuppie.
bow dress and this like little tie. They're adorable.
I will give, okay, so if you do go to see a
Yes.
live a shadow cast or go to the movie, live. It has to be just the movie, though, because it doesn't happen in the stage show.
That would be obnoxious for the cast, for the performers.
I did it. I sat through it.
Was it like, I don't know, like if you're on stage performing and people are like calling back to you. Well, I guess if it's Rocky Horror, you anticipate it. So you like pace it.
You anticipate
it. Hate it. Yeah. Yeah. So then it's like a communal
enterprise. Thing. And like that started because, again, bros were drunk and we're like, fuck this movie. And then I think that's also what made it fun. It's like,
yeah, yeah.
You're yelling at something. It's cathartic. But
can you imagine like you're at the Lion King on Broadway and someone else like holds up a stuffed lion in the audience?
Oh my god. Oh my god, I love it. But one of my favorite callouts in the beginning one of my favorite callouts happens in the beginning, and it's right before Damn It Janet. That lady that crosses, that random wedding guest that says, "I always cry at weddings." The call out is, "And laugh at funerals."
I like it.
Right? They're not all bad.
I mean, I like that one.
I did say that like some of them are bad.
You did talk about this in the first episode about like maybe calling her sluts, like not super this day and age.
And the sad thing is, watching this, I did it. It's second nature at this point, and I hate myself. And afterwards, I was like, why am I doing it?
Because it gets ingrained. You're like, because it's part of the show.
Part of the show. When we did, and I was in it, there's a moment when they're in the car, and somebody had to pretend to be windshield wipers. So it's... So it's asshole slut, asshole slut.
That would be my only part in a performance, would just be going back and forth as windshield wipers.
And like, you don't pay attention to the scene because that's all you hear. It's so funny.
I like it.
But is there anything else you want to talk about before we get into Sharp and Flat for real this time? I mean,
go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, I was gonna say, I think when you were talking about it, didn't you say that your, well, I guess that's a Sharp and a Flat, so I'll wait. It's gonna be about your least favorite song, because I was gonna,
I don't even remember what I said the last time.
I think you said you didn't like Damn It Janet.
Yeah, I think now I
wanted to know more about why. I was like, so catchy. I just wanted to hear.
I don't know why I said that. Maybe I was thinking of Planet Schmanet Janet. I think that's
that would
the
make
I
more sense.
Okay. I think I was thinking of that one. So okay. I'm sorry, everyone.
That'll I will accept. I was just going to have to like throw hands.
Hot dog.
Yeah, exactly. No, I was hot dog. I don't understand the hot dog.
I think
dogs.
I meant that one, but. I will say Sword of Damocles. Like,
I hate it. I mean, I just, it's boring. The music is just, the actual music, I think, is not as good as the other songs. It's not as catchy. Who's singing along? Like, we could break out into Damn It Janet right now. Someone could break out into Time Warp right now. Who's breaking out into Sword of Damocles?
Because the Sword of Damocles is supposed to... It means that the situation they're in could be is something very bad.
Yeah.
Could happen at any time. And you're like, well, yeah, you die. But,
good.
But like, why are you such a prophet? How are you a what prophet?
Is it because Eddie's brain is in there and something bad has already happened to Eddie? So Eddie's brain's TikToking in there?
Are we unlocking things this episode? I think we're unlocking things this episode and making sense of a movie that is...
It takes a few hours to get... But you gotta...
This movie turns
40 years in a few hours.
50. It turns 50 next year. Yikes. So those six...
I'm not that old yet.
Those 60-plus-year-olds that you were talking about on Reddit, like, they were like, I was there, man!
I was there. I was in the trenches.
I was there. I was 17. I watched it for the first time. It was great.
That would have been wild.
All right, let's get into Sharp and Flat, shall we?
Yes. I'm ready.
Sharp Flat.
So in this section of the podcast, we're going to highlight some moments, whether or not we talked about. If we liked it, it's sharp. If we didn't like it or thought it could change, it's flat. And spoiler alert, I agree with my former Sharps and Flats, but I have something new to share with you all. So, Emily, I know you've, like, salt and peppered your,
Yes.
Your Sharps and Flats
throughout. I don't follow outlines.
Fine. Fine.
I can't keep a coherent structure. What are you talking about?
Rocky Horror, that's not a coherent structure to begin with.
There's no plot.
But, do you have any other ones that you didn't mention before?
I mean, I don't think it's like, it's not new, but I just think Tim Curry is amazing.
Yes.
Just as like an actor, as a singer, I feel like in the rest of his career, we really don't think of him as a singer, but like, damn.
After Janet, Dr. Scott, Janet, Brad, Rocky, Bullwinkle. After that part, sorry, that's part of the call outs. Because Rocky doesn't respond, so you either say Bullwinkle or you go, oh, because you're a caveman.
Yes.
There's another one for you. When Magenta comes in and says dinner is served and rings the gong, I was like, wow, Tim Curry was in two movies that people get scared from a dinner gong.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both cult classics, because they both bombed when they first came out. Yep.
And now people watch them on, like, TNT regularly.
I'm one of those.
And they have different versions, because Clue has, like, four different endings.
Yes. And they're, like, strong ensemble.
Strong ensemble. There's a dead body in the foyer.
What other sharps do you have? Or was that all?
We talked about Susan Sarandon.
Yes.
I mean, we've already talked about the music being great. So I think those are like my specific call outs for sharps.
Do you have it? What about flats? You had some earlier, you said, I believe.
I had some earlier. There are some consent issues in the movie as a flat.
Yeah.
I mean, it's rough to judge the movie on it because that's part of the plot, but it is like, it's not my favorite. But, you know, how else, what are you going to move the plot along with? But
there was some sort of consent in those two scenes that you're talking about.
Yeah, they get there.
They get there. And then with Rocky and Janet, it was just a gentle touch.
It's all it took. And the whole song is touch a touch me. She's like,
she's consenting to him, but is he consenting to her? That's,
he's only got half a brain,
right?
So I don't know if he can,
but he's a prophetic half a brain.
It's a prophetic half a brain, so he should have seen it coming.
Yeah.
Oh no.
So there are so many sharps. I could just sharp the whole movie, I feel like.
I know.
I mean, I had specific ones last time. I got a little lazy this time around, but I'm just going to say the whole goddamn movie. It is, this is the definition of so bad it's good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've had conversations like that before on here, outside here, you know, I talk about Voyage of the Rock Aliens a lot because that is a bad movie, but it's so fucking good. I don't know why. But, I guess it's my new sharp. But my new flat, and it's just me committing to them cutting once in a while in superheroes.
Mm, yes.
Like, why? Why? Add them back in.
It's not a long movie.
No.
This isn't an Oppenheimer problem. Like, you've got time.
Lauren and I, in the first chance, talked about the Rocky Horror with Laverne Cox. Do you think if somebody remade the movie to not be a shot-for-shot remake, give it a different spin, incorporate Once in a While and superheroes, do you think that would work?
I mean, I think if you remake the movie, you have to put them in for the structure. I think it makes the characters better, and I think it helps the structure.
So, okay. I just literally had this thought when I asked this question. I would love to see... Okay, follow me on this. Follow me on this. Follow me on this. Because
what's the fan cast?
It's not a fan... It's not a cast. It's the director. Because I'm liking what he's done with other musical movies, I'd like to see John M. Chu direct it.
Oh, okay.
I think it would be interesting to be like, we are scaling you back a lot. Because he's done In the Heights, Wicked, Gem and the Holograms was.
Okay.
We'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
It looked beautiful, but I feel like this is something that's so different. It could be darker. I feel like he can find the sexy of it.
Yeah, you gotta go sexy.
I like what he did in Crazy Rich Asians, which that was filmed beautifully. I feel like he would have a good eye for this. I feel like if you're gonna remake it, you only get one recognizable actor. That's it.
Yeah. Yes. So I think recent movies do have the problem of filling it with like popular people to get the box office. And if you just have a cast full of recognizable faces, you're going to end up with A-list stars wearing rag, and you're going to be like, I don't care. But if you have like one person as Frankenfurter potentially, or one person as Janet, and everybody else are kind of like unknowns or newcomers. Up and comers. You have a better shot at losing them into the characters and the story rather than being like, oh, that's...
Like, I think somebody...
Dakota Johnson.
Well, it's funny you say Dakota Johnson, because I was going to say, if you have somebody like Sydney Sweeney...
That was the other name I was going to say, and I was going to be like, she's just going to be boobs in a corset, like...
But, like, if you have her play Columbia, I think that would be a cool choice. It's a meaty part, you know. She has a couple of songs, like, she's a badass, and it's...
Can she sing?
That's not the question. This is my argument for like, the named person, though.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that'll be enough of a draw. And, like... If you get like a former Disney Channel person to play Brad or something, because who was that guy that was in he was in Chilling Adventures of Sabrina as Harvey? Him. If you got him to play Brad, yeah, he's a little known because he has Chilling Adventures, but like it's different, you know. It's not like casting Angelina Jolie as Magenta, or
I don't think you can do that. Yeah,
no,
and they can't be people who are so famous that they're afraid of the part and looking silly.
Right. You need people who are like, I need this job.
Right. Yeah. Which the original cast was probably like, I need the paycheck. I need the 6 weeks.
Let's go.
Let's go. Yeah. Gotta be hungry for it.
Like Eddie. I feel like actually Eddie could be also another, like, I feel like there are a couple of characters that if you give a big name a minor character to a minor character, I feel like that could work for you.
Like it's the old cameo.
Yeah. Eddie is the biggest cameo there is. And I know from the stage versions...
Just bring back John Stamos.
Fuck it. Let's go.
For the Glee kids.
Would you add any of the songs to your life's playlist?
Ooh,
Do you listen
probably.
to this on the regular? Let's put it that way.
I wouldn't say on the regular, but the words, damn it, Janet, do frequently pop up in my head when something happens. Like I have said them out loud, like if I've dropped something or something has gone awry, I have said, damn it, Janet. I've said it to my mother, whose name is not Janet. Like it is.
Has anyone when who's Janet?
No, I think they know well enough. The people I run with know well enough that they're like, they're Rocky Horror Picture people.
I love you.
Yeah.
You have to let me
Brad.
know. Let me okay, here's another thing for you. You have to let me know if at some point in the future
If I go.
somebody either asks you who's Janet or they sing the song with you.
Yes.
Because
Yes. Then you
it's
know you've
a
got a new
whole,
friend.
it's one or two ways. Like
Yeah.
there is no like middle ground. Like your friends and family are like, we understand her.
We get it.
But
Yeah, if someone else is like, are you okay? I mean, obviously the time warp, you're doing it at weddings, so I feel like that's a given. I do actually quite like Hoppatootie, just as like a bop. I feel like Hoppatootie
Yes.
is fun. It's rock. It's just kind of, does it fit? It is like a musical. If you're thinking of the show as a musical, does it have any, does it put the plot forward? Absolutely not. It makes no sense, but it's fun.
It's like okay, follow me on this one. In Kiss Me, Kate, the musical, Cole Porter added Too Darn Hot at the start of Act Two, just to wake the audience up, because there he's like, it's intermission. People were just
Sure.
sitting for over an hour, so I have a feeling that is similar to what Hoppatootie is. It's so you're like, wake up, you know.
I can feel that.
We had Sweet Transvestite, which is a bop, but it's a little slower of a
Yeah.
song, and then you have Sword of Damocles, which whatever. And then I Can Make You a Man, which is such a snooze fest, but I still love it. And then you have Hoppatootie, which is the banger.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, it's fun. I can, you know, I
yeah, it's
can
pop
fuck with
too.
it. Pop material.
I listen to all of them. I do.
Yeah.
And I've listened, like, the only version I don't listen to it is the Glee version for a good reason.
I
I mean,
understand.
the soundtrack is fine from
Yeah.
the Glee episode. It's just that then I'm thinking about the episode and I'm like, I don't want to think about it. I don't want to go there.
Then you're thinking about Glee, and that's where everything starts to go wrong.
That's when things go bad.
I get it.
But on that note, Emily, we are
Yes.
done with the episode.
I know.
Huzzah.
I
What?
will say that when you did this the first time around, Lauren had mentioned that she was watching it, I believe, on Hulu, and it is no longer on Hulu.
It's no longer on Hulu. It is
So if
nowhere.
anyone, it's nowhere. You have to pay for it on Amazon or all the other streaming services. And I think that is a disservice to everyone who is now going to want to watch this.
I was expecting it to be on Disney Plus because
I know.
Disney, because now you've seen, have you've seen the memes that like when Disney bought Fox that Frankenfurter is the new Disney princess.
Yes, the new Disney, a cute little. But
No,
no, I wonder if they were like, this is too much for like Disney Plus. You're gonna go on, you're looking for like Marvel or Paw Patrol and you find Frankenfurter. I don't know. It's like front and center.
love that that's the dichotomy. Marvel or Paw Patrol.
That's what's there. What's that's on Disney Plus?
But
I
Emily, what
don't
do you have?
subscribe, but
What do you have to plug or promote?
So I guess we have to promote that I host, I don't know, it's a network. I don't know. We have Fandom on the Rocks, where we have a couple of shows. We do Glee on the Rocks, obviously, where we talk about the God-forbidden show called Glee, that for some reason still exists in the zeitgeist. Can't believe it. There was a Jeopardy clue about Sue Sylvester the other night.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And you know how sometimes you can hear the audience on Jeopardy kind of laugh in the background, and they giggled very loudly about it was a Sue Sylvester quote. And I was like, they still find it funny. Oh my God.
I mean,
So
they
she
were
had the
all
best lines.
bad, but they were so fucking good.
So bad, so good. So we're going to cover every episode of Glee. We did the math. We're about 70% through. We're just about to start season five. So, and then we are also doing a Teen Wolf podcast on Phantom of the Rocks. We just released all of season one because what we love to do on Phantom on the Rocks is talk about those shows that you watched when you were a little bit younger, but you still think about on Tumblr.
Any
That's our
other
niche.
have you all discussed any other shows down the line that you can
We have um,
divulge or
um, so two of us have talked about doing Our Flag Meets Death
okay.
because we love it so much. I know they canceled it really before the next season, but we're hoping that another network picks it up for
Fingers
the
crossed.
fingers crossed, but I think we might still do it because there are not that many episodes and we love it so much, but we are always kind of brainstorming like what's our next show gonna be
Right, because
because
you have only two more seasons of Glee.
yes, and the sixth season is short.
It's
I think
so
there's like
short.
13 episodes.
It's a half a season.
Haven't, thank God.
And two of the
Thank
episodes, you're
God.
gonna want to throw things
I
because you're
know.
like, why?
I mean, that's
Why?
kind of how we feel about a lot of the episodes. You're just like, what is this shit?
Oh no, you
Someone
just
wrote
wait.
this. I know.
Yes.
Well, I mean, I kept up with it like peripherally, but I couldn't bring myself to watch it as it was happening. I was too heartbroken by the whole thing at the time. But yeah, so we're kind of on the lookout of what our next series is going to be. Obviously, it has to be a fandom show that people were like obsessed with. So we're kind of like percolating of what that's going to be.
I have some that I will whisper to you once we're done.
Okay,
But
super.
if you have a fun Rocky Horror story, I'd love to hear it. You know, be
Yes.
it the movie, Shadowcast, the show, let me know. You can email me at buttersungpod@gmail.com. I'm also on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at buttersungpod. What is your one skip song? And again, I apologize for the first chance saying, damn it, Janet. I honestly think I meant Planet Schmanet, Janet. Which rhymes, so forgive me,
Yes.
everyone. And if you want to be part of next episode's conversation, well, we're continuing on with the Second Chance Month, and we're doing the second chance of In the Heights. Speaking of John M2,
Speaking
it
of, that's a good segue.
is. Oh, I love
Swooped right in.
a sexy segue. But Emily, thank you so much for coming back on.
Thank you for having me.
Maybe one day in the future we'll have all of you on in one episode.
Yes.
We will
That would be
figure that
lovely.
out. We will figure that out.
What if you can figure that scheduling out, you can then
I
schedule us
am.
all for the rest of our shit.
Oh, I am ready. And everyone, thank you for listening, and bye for now. Special thanks to Aaron Choi for creating the pod's artwork and to Nick Bombacino for composing the theme song and the jingles. A huge thank you to CastBox for hosting this podcast. And thank you again for tuning in to today's episode of Life's But a Song. Bye for now, everyone, and have a musical day.